Okay, so our Bible basics tonight, we're going to be looking at a review to begin with of God the Father. And last week we talked about God the Father, and we spent 2 weeks on God the Father because there's quite a bit of details there. But who represents God the Father to children? Lena.
That's our dads.
Okay, our fathers. All right, their human fathers do. All right, what is the false teaching called universalism? Okay, everybody's going to get to heaven. Yep, and God's got everybody taken care of. He died for everybody, so everybody's on their way. So everyone's a child of God and going to heaven. That's kind of a crazy idea. But when did God's father-son relationship begin? Lena?
It's always been.
All right. It's been an eternity past. It's always been that way. All right. And when does the only begotten, what does the only begotten mean? Does it mean that Christ is the only begotten son of God? Sean? Okay, it's the only one of a kind. Very good. And then today, who does God call his sons? Sean?
Believers.
Okay, all the believers, all true believers. So if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're a true believer, then you're one of God's sons. Okay, last question. Name one of the Father's qualities. He's got a lot of qualities. What are one of the Father's qualities? Lena?
He's everywhere. He's full of mercy and love.
Okay, very true. As a father, what are some of the things that would relate to his fatherhood characteristics?
Provider.
Okay, he's a provider.
Protector,
pities, corrects, welcomes closeness, treats believers as good fathers. But the qualities that Alina was saying are God's overall qualities, but specifically dealing with his fatherhood qualities. Okay, now tonight we're going to be talking about God the Son. We're going to talk about his person. There's a lot to talk about Jesus Christ, God the Son. But we're going to talk just about his person. Who was he? What was he like? And try to answer some of those questions. Just a little overview to begin with. In this lesson we're going to examine the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. And the title, Christ, means the anointed one. Alright? So that's important for us to remember. Christ is a Greek word that means the anointed one. It refers to the Old Testament Messiah. And so that's who Jesus Christ is. That's his title. John chapter 1, verse number 41. This title is linked with the Messiah of the Old Testament. John 1, 41 says, First findeth his brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Okay? And then we will be also studying the deity, the humanity, and the kenosis of Christ. Alright? So you may know what the deity is, you certainly ought to know what the humanity is, but you may not know what the kenosis is. And so we're going to dig into that before we finish here tonight. Alright? So it'll give you some idea of what you're looking at. Now, here's something for us to think about. No one knows what Jesus looked like. It's important for us to understand that. Based on 1 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15, this common picture of Jesus with long hair cannot be accurate. Now let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, 14. I want you to see this. I want you to note this and see this in your own Bibles. All right, so 1 Corinthians 11, 14. Okay. You look at this up too so you can see it with your own eyes. 1 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. 1 Corinthians 11, 14 says, Doth not even nature itself teach that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given her for a covering. All right? So God says that her long hair on a woman is for her covering. Long hair on a man is a shame. All right? So there's no way in the world anybody's going to convince me that Jesus Christ had long hair because the scriptures say that's a shame. And why would our Lord, of all people, set an example of being ashamed to the human race? So, no, Jesus didn't have long hair like this picture. That's just all man's figment of their imagination. No one has a picture of Jesus. No one knows what he looked like. These pictures were developed during the 1700s, 1800s, when a lot of the guys were growing their hair long, so they just pictured Jesus that way, too. So this is not an accurate picture, so if you've had that as your picture in your mind of what Jesus looked like, erase it. All right. Just try to erase it out. Now, the deity of Christ. When we talk about the deity of Christ, we're talking about the fact that he is God. Deity refers to divine or divinity. He is God. All right. So when you talk about the deity of Christ, we're talking about the fact that he is God. Scriptures call him God. Now, I've got a lot of references in our text tonight. I'm not going to read them all. I'll read a few of them. They're there, so you can download the notes. You can look at them up yourself. So they're there for your references. I want you to have the material, but I'm not going to take the time to look up every one of them because it just takes too much time to do that. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that Christmas verse that we are familiar with, says, "Behold, a virgin Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You know, I don't know how you can get around that. I mean, that's pretty clear. God says that the babe who was going to be born was going to be God with us. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. John chapter 1, verse 1, John calls Jesus the Word. And he said he was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the cults may try to say that that's just talking about a God, but they are not looking at the Scriptures fairly. Because if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, and they try to tell you that in John 1:1, it doesn't have a definite article, it's got an A in front of it, that is true. They're telling you the truth. But that doesn't mean that he's not God. And it doesn't mean that he's a little God. Because if you look in the same chapter, John chapter 1, the same chapter, verse 6, verse 12, verse 18, all three of those verses have the word God in there with no definite article. And they would all say, oh yeah, those are talking about God, but not this one. No, they're inconsistent. You do not have to have the definite article in front of the noun to make it God. Okay? So don't be fooled by that. Don't let them trick you on that. Jesus is called God. Paul calls him God in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6, where he says, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He said he was God because he was in the form of God. In Titus we read that he is our great God and our Savior. Now, Peter might understand this, but the rest of you, it'll just be information on the top of your minds. But this is what's called a Granville and Sharp rule. And if you look in the Greek language, when you have God and Savior in one sentence with only one article in front of them, so it says, if you looked at the Greek, it would say the God and Savior, it's talking about the same being. All right? You can't get around that because there's only one article for the two nouns. That's called the Granville and Sharp rule, and it indicates that Jesus Christ is God. He is our great God and our Savior. And so important for us to see those things and at least have it in the back of your mind so you know it, even though you may not grasp what it's talking about. All right, some more on the deed of Christ. He did works that only God can do, all right, including creating, sustaining, raising the dead, and judging. I know all of these things that Jesus Christ did. All right, so where does in the Bible does it tell us that Jesus created? Sandy?
John
1 does. Where else? Colossians 1:16 says that Christ created everything as well. So those are two. Well, I guess I got them right there in front of us there. All I can just read. All right, but it talks about these things of him creating. He sustains. He raises the dead. Who were some of the people that he raised from the dead?
Lazarus.
All right, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Who else? All right, Jairus' daughter, so that 12-year-old girl. All right, he raised her from the dead. All right, so Jesus raised the dead. And he is the judge, and he will be the judge in future as well. So those are scriptures there that can help us with that. Now, he also accepts worship from men. Matthew chapter 14 here, men were worshiping Jesus, and Jesus didn't say, "Stop that, guys, it's not right, you can't do that. That's blasphemy. Don't do that." No, he wasn't doing that because he accepted it. And because he deserved it. It wasn't like they were doing something they shouldn't do. That verse there in Matthew chapter 14, verse 33 says, "And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Jesus had just done a miracle. They came and bowed and worshipped before him. And he accepted that. Now also, he accepted the worship of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 says the angels worshipped Christ. All right, so that verse there actually says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. All right, those who claim that Jesus Christ is just one of the angels, that doesn't make sense. You don't have angels worship you if you're an angel. All right? He is God. He is worshipped as God. He is claimed to be God. And he is the eternal and unchangeable, even as God. So if Jesus Christ is eternal and he's unchangeable, he never changes, he is God. Because the only being that is eternal is God. He has always been, always will be, and nothing can change that. And then addressing the Father, Jesus speaks of the glory which he had with him before the world began. Once again, Jesus Christ himself speaking this prayer, his official Lord's Prayer was in John chapter 17. The one that's often called the Lord's Prayer isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's just a model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. But the Lord's Prayer, the full prayer that he has is in John chapter 17. And in that prayer, verse number 5, he speaks to the Father and he says that he had glory with him. As he did before, he wanted the glory that he had with him before the world began. So obviously there's an eternality there. Now, this is another one that's kind of exciting. Right? Jesus is Jehovah. It's important for us to see this and be able to prove this. All right, he is referred to as Jehovah in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. All right, let me read that verse to you. You can look it up if you'd like. That would be good. Otherwise, download the notes. That's perfectly fine too. Romans chapter 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, got that cemented in your mind? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel chapter 2 and verse 32 says this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Jehovah shall be delivered. All right, so it's a quotation from the Old Testament in Joel in the New Testament about Jesus Christ. And it was talking about Jehovah in the Old Testament, so it's got to be talking about Jehovah in the New Testament. And to apply it to anything else would be blasphemy to do that. Also, someday all men will bow to Jehovah God. And we read in Philippians chapter 2. All right, some important verses here in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. All right, so the day's coming that everyone's going to bow. Even the people that hate God, even the people that are anti-God, even the people, the Hitlers and the people that are very, very anti-God, all of them are one day going to bow before God. They're going to bow before Jesus Christ and declare that he is the God of gods that he claimed to be. And we read in Isaiah chapter 45, the sequel to this, or the New Testament was the fulfillment of it, I should say. Okay, in Isaiah 45, it says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared from the ancient this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, that's Jehovah, all capital letters, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved. Be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. So the Philippians passage is a quotation of the Isaiah passage. The Isaiah passage was clearly talking about Jehovah God. The Philippian passage is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus is Jehovah. And we need to understand that. We need to grasp that. Don't let the cults deceive you. Don't let people fool you on that. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Now, can we comprehend that? No, not really. How can Jesus Christ be Jehovah God? He's not the Father. He's the Son. He's not the Holy Spirit. We talked about that before. He's part of the Trinity. We can't really grasp all of that, but that's all right. We don't have to, in our finite little minds, we do not have to think that God must be like us, because God's not like us. God can be three persons in one being. We can only be one person in one being. And we don't God's not like us, so we don't have to worry about that. God is greater than us. Now let's take a look at his humanity. Jesus was born of a woman. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He experienced life as a human being. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where it talks about and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor of God and man. So he was just like every boy, like all these boys that are here tonight. Jesus Christ was just like him when he was little. You know, I shouldn't say that. He was human like they were. They're little sinners, and Jesus wasn't. But he was human like they were, and all of us are. And so he was very human, very much so human. And he was called man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He's a man. And his disciple John described him in his humanity. You know, if there was anybody that knew Jesus, it would be John. John knew Jesus very, very well. What's John called in the scriptures? Okay, the disciple who Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. He was the one that seems to have had the closest relationship with Jesus Christ. He was the youngest of all the disciples and had a very, very close relationship with Christ. And John, 1 John 1:1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life." He said, we were there, we touched him, we were around him, we heard him speak, we spent time with him. Jesus was a human being just like us. There's no question about it. And John didn't have any doubt about that. Jesus had experiences of a human. For example, he got hungry. Right? He got thirsty. He got tired. He knew sorrow and distress. You know, what was the sorrow he had in John 11? Lazarus died. And that's where we read in John 11, 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Right? So Jesus knew what it was, these human feelings were like. He was a human being, but yet he was God at the same time. And that really kind of boggles our brain. How could he possibly be God and human at the same time? He was unique in every sense of the word. He was unique. But he also died as a human. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 talk about his death and how he died just like a human being died. And so Jesus Christ was human in every sense of the word, but he was also God in every sense of the word. And that really is hard for our poor little minds. Here's another thing that's very important about Christ. He was sinless. I mentioned a moment ago that he was like these boys, and I wasn't picking on them. I could have said, like any of us, we're all sinners. All right? And we've all sinned. But though human, Jesus was sinless. He never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Christ knew no sin. We read also in Hebrews 4:15, Christ was without sin. We read in 1 Peter 2:22, Christ did no sin. And 1 John 3:5, in Christ is no sin. So Jesus Christ was a sinless person. He was human, but he was God, and he was absolutely sinless. And very, very key to our understanding of these, of who he really was. Now, the incarnation of Christ. What do we know about that? Well, Jesus was born into the human race by a virgin. All right, and when we talk about the incarnation, I'm going to give you a definition here in a moment, but the incarnation is the idea that God became human and came to this earth. That's the incarnation of Christ, the fact that he became a human even though he was God. Now, the Holy Spirit supernaturally placed Christ in Mary's womb. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Remember, Mary said, "How can this be? I don't know a man." And God, the angel said that the Holy Spirit would place Christ in her womb. And so she conceived in that manner. Now, this is not Christ's beginning. He is eternal God. Now, don't forget that. You know, a lot of people have this idea that Jesus, you know, God's always existed, but Jesus started when Mary gave birth to him. That's a lie. Jesus has always been. He's had no beginning. He's eternal. He's always been God. He's always been with God. He was before God, with God before the creation. And he created all things. He was the creator of all. So Jesus Christ is eternal. He is God. And so we need to keep that in our minds. Jesus had no human father, and Mary, his mother, was a virgin when he was born. That's an important truth. And God makes it very, very clear to us. And we spend some time on that during Christmas talking about that fact. But there in Matthew chapter 1:25, it's where Joseph says about Joseph that he took Mary and cared for her as his wife, but he knew her not until after she gave birth to Jesus. So he kept himself physically from her until after Jesus was born. Just to prove or to make so that statement, just so it confirms in our mind, she was a virgin. But she didn't remain a virgin. And there's the heresy that people teach that Mary was a virgin until her death. Well, that's nonsense. The Bible tells us very clearly that she had a whole bunch of children besides Jesus. She was not a virgin. After Jesus was born, Joseph knew her like every other husband did, and they had children together. Now, Jesus Christ was God, the God-man. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This is an important verse to grasp. This has got some good stuff in it here. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. All right, so God was manifest in the flesh. When else was God actually manifest or came to be visible in the flesh? Now, I know that there were Christophanies in the Old Testament where Christ took a human body temporarily to act like an angel to be able to speak a word to people. You know, there are times like that. But that was only a momentary thing or a very short time, maybe a few minutes or a few, half an hour or something like that. But in this was totally different. He became a man, and he became the God-man for us. Now, we call the birth of Christ his incarnation. The fact that he humbly gave up the use of some of his attributes while in human flesh is called his kenosis, the kenosis of Christ. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 talks about how Christ emptied himself to become a man. Now, he didn't lose his attributes. He was still God. He was still able to do miracles. He still raised the dead. He still walked in the water. He still did a lot of miraculous things, but he laid aside the use of some of those attributes that he had while he was here, and that laying aside of those things, and even though he was God Almighty, he laid aside those things, and that is technically called the kenosis of Christ. All right, so just a technical term to keep in the back of your mind to help you to understand a little bit more about this, especially when you read Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is a great section there to read about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there in verse number 7, it says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." All right? So he took on himself the form of a servant. You know, we struggle to grasp the significance of that because we don't have servants like that. These servants they had no rights. They were often slaves. And so he took upon himself the form of a slave that had absolutely no rights, no property, no ownership of anything. He became just a poor slave. Why? To be able to die on the cross for me and you. That is an amazing truth. The kenosis of Christ. He laid aside all that he had. You know, those times when the people were mocking him and cursing him, all he would have had to do is speak the word and they would have dropped dead. He had the power to do that, but he didn't. Even when he was going to the cross, remember he said that he could call just one call and he would have 12 legions of angels. A legion of angels was about 6,000 or 7,000. He'd have 12 legions of angels instantly there to rescue him. But he didn't do it because he died for you and me. And he did that because he loved us. And so the kenosis of Christ is very, very precious to us. Now, let's just do a quick review here, and then we're going to have some application at the end. What do we mean by the deity of Christ? What's that talking about? Any of you kids remember? What's the deity of Christ? What's that mean? The deity of Christ. Some big kids help him out. Anybody know? Peter, you look smart. Okay, it means he's God. He's divine. Deity refers to his divineness. He is God. All right, so Jesus Christ is God. Now, what evidence do we have that Christ was God? What evidence do we have? Yes? Okay, it's mentioned in the Old Testament. There's comparisons in the Old Testament. He's called God. He's worshipped. He did works of creation and miracles, and he claimed to be eternal, and he was called the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Lots of things. So tuck those away in your mind, and it'll help you to remember that Jesus Christ is God. And very, very important that we see that, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, what evidence do we have that Christ was human? What evidence did we give for that? How do we know Jesus was a human? Timothy? You get your finger up. That's you know, this is an auction here. You know, you don't do that. All right. Somebody else? Sorry, Tim. I didn't.
He was born of a woman.
Okay, he was born of a woman. All right. Yeah, all those things that people do. He did all those kind of things. He was born. He lived. He had human needs. He called man. He is called man by his contemporaries. Right, so the people that knew him said, yeah, he's a man. No question about it. You know, I mean, if someone asked John, was Jesus Christ really a man? He said, well, of course he was. He was just like us. He ate and breathed and you know, all the stuff that we do. He was just like us. But he was also God. And they knew that as well, or they came to know that as well. Right? Why is the virgin birth so important? Why is that important?
Because he wasn't to have a human father.
Okay, why is that important?
Sinless. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Rob.
No. Well, he was born without sin, so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, his sinlessness was part of that. Yes, why else? Lena?
He was 100% man, 100% God.
Yes.
It was foretold in the Old Testament.
Yes, but why is it important? Sandy.
Because he didn't begin then.
Sorry?
He didn't begin then. That wasn't his beginning.
True. That's true. Shannery?
Well, in a sense, he didn't answer to an earthly father so much as he answered to a heavenly father. I mean, if Joseph was his father.
Yeah.
Mark? He had to listen to him and not God.
All of your answers are good, Seth.
Is it just because no one else was like that and that made him special, I guess?
Okay, let's consider this. His virgin birth is important because of his deity, his incarnation, his kenosis, his sinlessness, the God-man. All of those things are together, and a lot of you have already mentioned some of those things. But these are, it's very important. You know, also, one of the reasons why the virgin birth is important is because if he wasn't virgin-born, then there's no way that anybody could be convinced that he was really the God-man, and if he wasn't the God-man, then his death on the cross was no different than if I died on the cross, or if somebody else died on the cross. But the fact that he was the God-man, and he died on the cross, and rose from the dead, and bore our sins, then he can pay the debt of our sin. So, it's very significant that he was virgin-born, and that he was deity, that he was actually God in the human flesh. That's why it's important that we grasp it and understand it. Now, let's take a look at some practical questions. Just a couple here as we close up. What difference would it make if Jesus was just a God? We already just kind of touched on that a little bit. Let's just think about that. The cults say that Jesus is just a God. He's not Jehovah. He's not the big God. He's just a little God. You know, if you can have such a thing. It's like having a little king and a big king. But a lot of people just believe that Jesus is a God, one of the little gods, and there's the big God, Jehovah, and then there's all these little gods. What if that was true? What difference does it make?
Well, one, he wouldn't be able to make a substitutionary sacrifice.
Exactly. That's a very big one. If he was not the eternal God, if he was just a created being, if he was just an angel, if he was just a good man, if he was anything less than Jehovah, he could not possibly pay an eternal debt for even one person, let alone the human race. He had to be the eternal God in order to be able to do that. All right, any other reasons why this is important? Probably a lot of reasons here, but anything else that comes to your mind? What difference does it make? Does it make any difference that Jesus, if he was just a God, Jenner?
Well, it's just not that impressive if you're just a God, I mean, who cares?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's another thought. Seth?
Well, depending on what kind of power a God would have, he probably wouldn't be able to do like miracles and stuff like that he did.
Yeah. All right. So you're absolutely right here. Jesus Christ is God, and he is the God, and he is the God of the Bible. And it's important for us to grasp that, because if that's not true, then he could not have done the things he said he would do. Sean?
If Jesus isn't actually God, like if they're not the same thing, then salvation doesn't actually come from God.
That's right. That's right. Yep, salvation would not come from God, and salvation could not even be provided for. You know, that's one of the things that I've often used when talking with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and just share with them that if Jesus Christ is not the eternal God, then he could not possibly pay an eternal debt for me or anybody else. There has to be an eternal God to be able to pay an eternal debt and to pay that debt for everybody for all eternity. That is just phenomenal, but it has to be God. It can't be just something else. All right, a last question here. How does Christ's kenosis challenge our daily life? Sean? John?
Well, it can kind of make us connect with him better, because like it's easy. Like, I suppose there's this sense where if God didn't come as a man, it'd be easy for humanity to say, like, well, what do you know about anything? Like,
okay.
You're not a man.
Easy okay.
You just say, but now that God has actually been a man, he has every right to say, well, I've been there, I've done that.
Yep.
I know exactly what it feels like.
Okay, that's a good thought. What else does it do to challenge us? Sean?
Well, on the same sort of vein, like in Hebrews, it talks about having another high priest which is not touched with our infirmities, so it challenges us to live a pure life, because if Jesus was able to be sinless, even though he was 100% man at the same time, then that suggests that, you know,
okay,
we can do a lot more to live better lives, more like him.
Okay. Can we develop that thought a little bit further? I think that's a big thing that I was thinking of here with the kenosis. Peter?
After what he's done for me.
Yes.
Can I do less
than
give him my best?
Yes. Yes. Very good. All right. And as you think about this, what did Christ do?
He
did give. What else did he do? All right, he did. But in order to do that, what, Sandy?
Well, he had to give up the glory of heaven and everything that he deserved.
He gave up the glory of heaven and all that he was, and he humbled himself and became a man. And he said, I'm just one of you. And as our example, one of our biggest struggles as human beings is pride. And Jesus Christ had every reason to be totally proud, because he was God. And he was all-powerful. And he did own everything. And he created everything. And that it probably doesn't apply to him, but in the sense that, as we would think of it, we have nothing to brag about. But he is everything. And he humbled himself as an example to us. Now, that's certainly not his only reason for coming to this earth, but don't get me wrong. But that is a reason for us to look at that and say, he humbled himself, and the least I can do is humble myself and let others go first and put others ahead of myself. And in that same passage there in Philippians chapter 2, he starts out there and says that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. But how often do we esteem ourselves better than others? You know, if I have anything left over, I'll give it to somebody else. If I have any time left over, I'll give it to somebody else. But me first, and then everybody second. And that's the opposite of what Christ did. So there's lots to think about here with the deity of Jesus Christ here. And I hope that that'll help you. And give you some thoughts to think on. Any questions or comments before we...